John Gilmore, you and the Electronic Frontier Foundation are backing a legal challenge to the U.S. government's ban on the export of strong encryption technology. Would you like to tell us a little bit about this case?
This is Dan Bernstein's case. He was an assistant professor at Berkeley. Now he's working as a professor in Chicago. And he invented a cryptographic system all his own, asked the government whether he could publish it, and they said no. And he came to the Electronic Frontier Foundation and said, is there something we can do about this? We found a legal team and put together a case. We won the case in U.S. District Court, and the judge there, Marilyn Hall Patel, ruled that the export laws were unconstitutional as they applied to cryptographic source code. The government has appealed, and we had a hearing in December in the Court of Appeals here in San Francisco. So we're still waiting on the decision from the Court of Appeals.
What does the outcome of this case mean to the average internet user?
Well, if we win the case, what it'll mean is that researchers and companies are free to publish cryptographic software. What this will really mean is that you'll be able to get products that have much better security, much better privacy protection, much better authenticity, are more resistant to security break-ins, viruses, and such like.
For somebody who's not doing anything that's particularly secret, why should they need strong encryption?
Well, actually, it's hard to tell whether what an individual is doing is secret or not. For example, people have noticed that the Pentagon was gearing up to fight a war by watching the pizza deliveries in the Washington area and noticing that there were lots of pizzas being delivered to the Pentagon late at night. You know, those pizza guys probably thought that what they were doing was not all that important, but if somebody, you know, if foreign governments were monitoring their communications, they would know.
Is this important then for just regular folks?
Yeah. Regular folks write love letters. You know, regular folks talk to their kids. You know, in the next few years, regular folks will probably be swapping, video mail back and forth with their grandchildren. And I think regular folks have an expectation of privacy. And at the moment, it's hard to actually believe that these things are private. The only reason that people consider them private is because there's so much traffic flowing through. They figure, nobody will be looking at me. But computers are getting better and better at looking at large amounts of data and filtering out what somebody wants to see.
In the Bernstein case, the government's policy has already once been declared unconstitutional. Are you worried at all that in Congress you may get something that is a compromise and may not turn out as well as the court case itself?
Well, actually, it's been declared unconstitutional twice. First, the State Department rules, and then the Commerce Department rules were both declared out of order by the district court. But I mean, there is some concern that Congress will pass some more foolish legislation. But actually, I think if we win the Bernstein case, it will make it much harder for any such legislation to survive the courts.
FBI Director Louis Freeh argues that it's important to have some kind of backdoor for law enforcement, so they have the ability to read the messages of terrorists, drug dealers, kidnappers, that sort of real bad folk. What's wrong with this argument?
Well, first, the number of crimes that are committed, number of crimes that are solved with wiretaps, which is what he's talking about, is a tiny, tiny, tiny fraction of the crimes that are committed and solved in the United States every year. Right? If we, if all 1,000 wiretaps that are legally authorized every year were eliminated, you know, the amount of crime in the United States would go up by 0.00001%. So I think if you just look at the numbers, the argument is foolish. But second, Freeh's argument, I mean, one of the strongest partisans for Freeh's side of the case, Professor Dorothy Denning, took a look with the man who used to be number two at the FBI, William Bao, last year, did a large survey with cooperation of the FBI of all cases where encryption had been found in a criminal case and what actually happened, how did the case come out. And what they found was there was not a single case where encryption had prevented the prosecution, the successful prosecution of criminals. That in some cases they had to find other kinds of evidence. In some cases the plain text was lying around on the disk next to the encrypted text. In some cases there were other obvious crimes that the same people had committed and they were convicted on those crimes. But in all cases the people who did bad things are behind bars, whether or not encryption was used.
As this stuff moves into the mainstream, as this has become a tool for electronic commerce rather than a hobby for lots of folks, are groups like the cypherpunks still relevant?
Sure. It goes back to the old Hunter Thompson adage, when the going gets weird, the weird turn pro. So a number of cypherpunks have started companies and are actively involved in securing the web and securing other parts of the infrastructure.
Sort of a big picture question. You've been one of the foremost advocates of privacy and anti-censorship on the net. Have things improved in the last few years?
I think things have improved, yeah. I mean, winning the Communications Decency Act case was a big validation. It basically said, well, what you guys have been saying all along for the last 5, 6 years was right. You know, free speech does matter, and the Constitution does protect speech on the Internet. I think we're also getting a lot of support in the privacy and cryptography fight, too. Both, I think the mainstream position in society, as well as the declared position of the courts, is moving in our direction. You know, none of these battles are over, but I think that, in a sense, we're leading the way, as in the sense that the people are following behind us, as opposed to going off in some other direction.